Proverbs again and start there, and we're going to spend most of our time out of Proverbs, outside of Proverbs. Proverbs 3. We're starting to finish up these wisdom lessons, and maybe just a couple more weeks. If you have something you really would like me to teach on about wisdom, you can give me suggestions. We can look into it. And but we're starting to finish up on these. We've been doing them since middle of July. And so Proverbs chapter 3. And today we're going to talk about the wisdom of continuing without knowing. Continuing without knowing. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we could read that right there and just meditate on these verses. Maybe memorize them together and talk about how they speak to us and just dwell in these three verses. And we'd be blessed and helped. And it would be wonderful because they're the depth of the mind of God and the words of God. We thank you for them. Lord, we have many other things along the subjects here, and we pray you'd give us wisdom as we study them. And I pray we would understand your ways and your thoughts and really to understand that we do walk by faith, not by sight. And speak to us now with these truths in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a thing I say so often, and it's not very, this isn't a word, but it's not very leadership-ish, but it's something I just tell people all the time. I think you sound much more intelligent if you act like you know something and you wingding it or use platitudes, but I'm too straightforward for that. I don't really use platitudes and things like that, but there's a ton of time where I have no idea about what God's doing or what the future holds. I just don't. And I find I can have a plan, but I find the plan just changes because it wasn't because God had another plan. In other words, I think it's good to make a plan. I think it's good to make a plan. I think it's good to structure things and pray about it and try to be wise and try to structure things and be like the ant and prepare for winter and all those things. However, you find as you do that, sometimes God, there's things you don't know and things you can't plan for and things you're not prepared for. And God just says, here's the way. Because I try not to fix myself into something as far as having to do things a certain way in a certain time and having things a certain way. I think it's easier for God to change my plans when I do that. But and so often somebody will say, why is this happening? And I can always say, well, God works in mysterious ways. And well, you know, it's for your good, and you know, God's trying to teach you a lesson, and or God is working this out so you're will learn faith. But I don't always know that stuff. And I'm very, very, very cautious if I'm cautious of anything not to speak when God doesn't speak. And to say God's doing something. I like it that when I say God wants you to do this, you go, wow, you never say that. It must be true. I like to reserve that for those things and save that for those things and try to do those things. And God knows what he's doing, but I don't always know what he's doing. I had years ago where I had, I guess it was, must have been 2010. My plan was to go to Africa in 2010. I think it was 2000, I don't know, the years all run together. It was 2010, 2011. I think it was 2010, I'm pretty sure. I was going to go to Africa. I had the countries picked out. I had talked to Africans here. I had started making plans. I started picking cities. I started talking to missionaries there in Africa. And I wanted to go to Africa. And I thought it'd be a great mission trip. And I still want to get to Africa. My plan right now is to start in 2014. I'm going to go to Africa. That's my plan. Is that going to happen? I have no idea. I don't know if I'll be around in 2014. I don't know what's going to happen. And so in that year, God just suddenly, and I kind of resisted, it wasn't my plan, but God just said, you're going to Haiti in February. And I was just, and everything, I kept going, I'm going this, I got this plan, and God kept saying, you're going here. And I'm like, I got a plan here. God said, I got a plan. And the Lord sometimes, and why did he want me to go to Haiti? I didn't know at the time. There was a bunch of things I was supposed to do. There are so many things I don't know. I don't know 1 second from now. I mean, literally, there could be massive warnings in the radio going off right now saying that a giant meteor is headed towards Seattle. And it could have been going on for the last 20 minutes. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes. There's so much. We as humans, and we'll read the verses in a while, but James says it's so arrogant of you humans to say in such a day we're going to do this and this and this. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. Your plans can change because you slip in a bar of soap tonight in the shower. I mean, there's so many things we don't know. And so many times God is doing something. And one of the things, the whole lesson tonight, I'm way ahead of myself. The whole lesson tonight is we have a hard time not knowing things and continuing on in faithfulness without knowing why or when or how. We are very curious, aren't we? And we're curious and we like our feet on the ground and we like to know why. And one of the worst answers I get at people, but it's the right answer. When they say, why is this happening to me? I say, I don't know. That doesn't sound pastoral. It's supposed to say, because God is your shepherd and he's leading you through this because in 2 months you're going to meet the man of your dreams. I can do that and then I can try to set it up, get myself out of trouble. But, you know, there's so much we don't know. And we've got to have the ability to say, I trust in the Lord, as we just read, with all my heart and lean not unto mine own understanding. I trust God, and I look to him. We like mysteries as long as we find the whodunit. But if you read a book that was a mystery and it never gave the person whodunit, you'd hate the book. You wouldn't like it. I stayed at a house one time. It was a state, and 50 acres, huge house. And some Christians I knew, they inherited it. And they told me the story of the house. And this story was so long and drawn out, the FBI investigated the situation in this house. The lady who lived in there, she was eccentric. She had like 7 dogs in the house with her, small dogs. The house is massive, and she was scared of that. She was she was eccentric and afraid. People were always going to try to get her. And then she had, I think, 9 locks in the door. Click, 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 all the way down the thing. And she visqueened the entire house off. Put plastic up, and it was and lived in the bathroom, bedroom, and one living room. And with all of her dogs, and wouldn't answer the door for her relatives, and she was so crazy, and long story short, mailman kept on delivering mail and didn't get picked up, and they found her murdered, the dogs going crazy, all the doors all locked from the inside, all the visqueen, all the plastic in place, no door, no windows open, no jam, just her murdered in the house with all the dogs going crazy and hungry, and I kept waiting at the end. I said, so what did they find out? That was the end of it. And I said, oh, man, I got to stay in this house. I don't even know what happened. And it might come get me. And since Sherlock Holmes isn't alive anymore, he was never alive. And so I don't know what happened. And so and we like to know the end. We like to know what's going on. What's the punch? What's the punchline? And we don't always know those things. Look at Proverbs 27. Actually, the people who lived in it inherited it when she died, so I think they might know something. But Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Boast not thyself of of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't boast yourself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day can bring forth. You don't really know what's going to happen. You don't have any answers on that. I'm going to be in the book of James. Book of James. James chapter 4, we mentioned this passage, verse 13. It says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, or do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that don't know to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. That verse 17 is going to come back in a point later. Because you don't know what's going to happen, if you don't do good, it's sin. If you know to do it. Why? Because you can't say, I'm going to do this thing later, when you're presuming upon God that later is going to come for you. So you better do what God has for you to do right now. And if you know to do good, you don't do it, and you say, I am going to do it, you're presuming that God's going to give you that time, and God says, that's evil, that's not right. You should do it now while you have the chance. Trust and faith go hand in hand with not knowing. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. If God would spell everything out for us, what he's doing, what he's going to do, how it's going to work out, then faith would be not necessary and be void, and we would not need any faith. And I find in my own life, as long as I'm following God, the strange thing is, as long as I'm following God, I find myself constantly not knowing where it's going. And it seems backward, but it's a confidence in faith. And you walk with faith, and you know where it's going is the right place. A lot of times, and when I fail in my faith, when we fail in our faith, we get our feet in the ground, we have to know exactly. And if God's sending us to the unknown, we put our feet in the ground, but you find that your feet in the ground without faith is way more shaky. Tithing's like this. You might say, well, what's going to happen if I tithe? By faith, you know God's going to provide for you. But you go and say, I'm not going to tithe so I can pay my bills, and your feet are on the ground, but you're going to find out you're on really shaky ground. And so when you live by faith, you don't always know how it's going to work out, but you're walking on water, and water normally doesn't float you. However, you're walking toward Jesus, and Jesus can take care of you. And so when you don't have to know the answers, you're living by faith, and you're doing what God wants you to do, knowing who you believe, then you're fine. And because it goes hand in hand, trust and faith, it literally, trust and faith has to do with not knowing. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you're not going to see God's way. It is a matter of faith. It is, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I don't know how it's going to work out. As a matter of fact, usually when you do it God's way, it looks like it's not going to work out. It's faith. And it's God saying, look, there's no way. Will you obey me anyway? And then once you obey him, he begins to work things out, and now you'll find the way to cross the Red Sea, and you'll find the way to have the blessing to be taken care of, but you have to obey in faith. You don't get the blessing and the answer and the clarity before you obey in faith. Otherwise, faith is not faith. It's just sight. And sight doesn't take anything to live by, but we walk by faith and not by sight. And so just a few thoughts. We're supposed to continue doing what's right when we don't know things. We don't understand, we don't see the way, or we don't grasp, or we don't even understand, we can't even comprehend, or we don't have the knowledge. We still keep going when we don't have answers, when we don't know what to do, when we don't know if we're going to be blessed for it and all those things. Number one, do right when you do not know the reward. Do right when you do not know the reward. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's if you'll trust in the Lord, and you'll not lean your understanding, but acknowledge him, he will direct your paths. That's the promise. You don't even know what's going to happen, but he's going to direct your paths if you don't lean to your own understanding. And just another psalm on this is great Psalm 37, and let me just read it to you briefly. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily, thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust God, obey God, and he's going to bless you. But you don't know how he's going to do that. You don't even know the way sometimes. You don't have to see the way. The knowledge of who he is more important than the knowledge of how this is going to work. Or why don't I have the answer? Or why don't I see the exact reward? You just trust who you serve and that he will take care of things and he will reward you. You stay on the right path. You do the right thing, whether you see the way, the reward or not. And it says, if you do that, trust in the Lord and do good, so shall you dwell on the land. It is a matter of the first steps are trusting and doing the right thing. You're going to be blessed for it. You've got to do it, even if you don't know how it's going to be blessed. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're going to reap if you obey God. You have to do God's will for your life. And usually God's will for your life looks like the way to go where it's no answers. And you don't comprehend the way. But that's okay because God's going to work it out. And that's faith. Number two, not knowing the future can make you do good now. Not knowing the future can make you do good now. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Why don't we boast of tomorrow? We read it right here in Psalm 27, or just Proverbs 27, 1. And we also read it in James 4. Why do you do good now? Because you don't know if you'll have later. See, when you don't know the way, and you don't know when, and you don't know how, you just know you need to do right now. If you knew the day you were going to die, you would probably not be as good a Christian. You'd progressively become a better Christian as you get closer to that day. And you know what? You'd find out, a lot of us have said, boy, if I'd have knew they're going to die, I would have. But the Bible says you don't know they're not going to die. Instead of saying, I wish I would have said, why don't you just say that today? Because it makes you, when you do not know what life is included, you don't know what's going to happen. I wish people who are making good money, and I touched on this a little bit, I think Sunday, people who are making good money would say, I don't know if I'm going to be making good money in 6 months. And treat their finances that way. You say, well, my job's very secure. You're not the first person who said that and had a slip at work. Or you didn't know, but the accountant was skimming the company and the company's about to go broke. Or the economy's going to change. You understand, our economy might collapse before the new year. And it might not. So you'd be wise to be wise to your money right now. If I said, you know what, the fiscal cliff's coming up and they're not going to get this thing done, and you know what, we've already been told by God, the economy's going to collapse on January 1st. Boy, would you ever treat your money. You'd be pretty careful, wouldn't you? You'd be saving it. But you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if we're going to have another Dust Bowl this year. We don't know that. And when the dirt's in the air and floating around like it was in 1932 or 33 or 36, and that's in America. So it makes you do right. Therefore, to him who knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him that is sin. That's why when you do not know and you understand the instability and changeableness of life and relationships and health and everything else in this world that's chaotic, we live in an ever-changing, chaotic world. The earthquake might be coming in an hour. That depresses me. Live in reality. And I don't think you should live around shivering all day. God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but you ought to ask that person for forgiveness because you don't know if you have tomorrow. You ought to go out and go give that person a hug and tell them you love them. You ought to go do the right thing now because you don't know what you have. See, not knowing things and not knowing the future, whether it's financially or time or relationship-wise, it makes you call that person that you were thinking about and call them and say, I'm just checking in. I want you to know I appreciate you and love you. Because things change and life changes. And you want to do right now because you don't know the future. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want guarantees of the future, you're on the wrong planet. I mean, that's all there is to it. Number three, sometimes it's not time for us to know. This one frustrates us. John chapter 16. Sometimes it's not time for us to know. As you're a parent, you'll understand that certain things your kids will ask you about, it's not time for them to know those things. And sometimes in life, there's things that people don't need to know. And it's not time for somebody to know. Somebody who's really depressed, you probably don't need to tell them some bad news. And somebody, I mean, it's not always time. My wife's grandparents He was in some pretty nasty fighting in World War II. He was in Guadalcanal. He was in Guam. He was in the jungle fighting as a Marine in World War II, and very intense. And so he had those flashbacks, and they would have told him he would have made him disabled because he woke up the night screaming and hiding in closets and stuff. They would have said he had PTSD and couldn't work and everything, but he worked his whole life and it was fine. And he had that. And after that, he's a very big, strong, burly man, but he saw so many things and was in such close quarter jungle fighting that he couldn't handle a lot of things coming at him at once, and he got stressed out. So his wife would always get the mail and always gradually give him the bills. She just would, because she knew if she handed him a bunch of bills at once, big, strong, burly, tough guy, but just he couldn't deal with that. He just couldn't. And there are certain things that would bring flashbacks, and they try to protect him from those things and all those things. But there were certain things that he didn't need right then. You ever said, not right now? If you're wise, you said that. You say, can I deal with this tomorrow? There's just times when it's not time for something. There's times when you're not ready to comprehend something. It's just not, you're not ready to deal with that yet. And you need it in phases, or you need it at different times. John 16 and verse 12, it says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. They were just getting the information, I'm leaving you, from Jesus, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he's had many things to teach you, but you can't handle it right now. And so sometimes God wants to give you some answers, but you can't handle it now. I know in my worst and toughest burdens, I know this, if you would have told me what I was going to go through beforehand, I don't know if I would have went through it. I would have dodged it. I think sometimes you're better off not knowing what you're going to go through. I just think as you go through it, you just say, maybe this will end tomorrow. And then end tomorrow, and you say, maybe it'll end tomorrow. And you find out it's going to go off for 4 more years. If you found that out, you throw in the towel. You can't bear it right now. And when's this going to end? If you ask that question, I hope you know you're not going to get an answer. Unless it's a medical procedure. But in most cases, you don't know when it's going to end. And so, I got to know. You're not going to know. You might not be able to handle it if you knew. If you told me what I'd go through starting this church, I'd have taken over a church somewhere. I would have went and found me a church to take over. And I said facetiously, maybe I'd have enough faith and enough perseverance. But you know, you're not always able to handle knowing everything. There's some people I've met whose family has suffered and had some hard times, had children who've gotten severely sick, and they've went through major things. And you know what? The grace was there day by day, but they didn't know what was coming. And they would have been overwhelmed them if they'd have known the whole thing. Sometimes you can't bear things, and sometimes you don't need to know everything. We feel better if we know everything we think, but sometimes I think we're wrong on that. Sometimes you wouldn't feel better if you knew everything. Sometimes I just think maybe this is ending, this is all I can handle right now. And so we find that in the Bible. 1 Corinthians, sometimes we're just not ready to handle it right now. It's too heavy. Sometimes we're not spiritual enough to learn to know something right then. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as a babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are ye yet able. For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions. Are ye not yet carnal and walk as men? You know, Paul said, you know what? I can't give you the meat of the word. You can't handle it. You're still carnal. And I want to say this. When you're not spiritual, you can't handle the deeper things of God. Now, everybody wants to know everything. But you know, the things of God, you'll find Jesus, as he was teaching his disciples, you can't handle this yet. You're not able to bear this. You can't. You're not ready for this knowledge yet. Think of a child and says, can you teach me how to light a bomb? Sure. You know? And Ron did that at camp, didn't at the mentor? No. And we say, and our kid says, Mom, how do you go? And how do you, how do you light this and cook this? How does a fire work? Can I see the matches in the fireworks? Can you show me how to light a firecracker? They're not ready for that. They don't have the maturity to handle it. And every 13-year-old thinks they can drive. But maybe you shouldn't show them where the keys are. Maybe you shouldn't show them how to start it. Maybe you shouldn't sit down with a kid at 6 years old and show him where the gun is and how to cock it and how to fire it. Maybe he's not able to bear it. And certain truths we find, he says, you can't handle the meat of the word. Now, people want to know everything the Bible says, but you better make sure you're spiritual and living what you've been given already before you want more truth. Because if you're not faithful in that which is least, you'll not be made faithful in much. And if you want to understand the scriptures, live what he's taught you already, and he'll give you more truth. And so sometimes you can't handle the truth. Sometimes truth is revealed for those who need it in a different time. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. People in the Old Testament could not understand the second coming, the first coming of Christ, and all the prophecies and Messiah. It was all very veiled for them and hard to understand because it wasn't for them. They got what they needed. Sacrifice the lambs, believe God, it'll be counted for righteousness, and do the things you're supposed to do. But it wasn't for them. And we think sometimes that we need the truth for somebody else. We need to understand why this is happening to them, why they're going through that, what's the answer for them. You might not need to know. You don't need to know everything. You need to know what you're supposed to do and do it. Amen. You don't need, and sometimes we get so focused on other people and not just say, what do I have in my plate? What do I need to do? What has God shown me to do? And really look at ourselves, because not everything, God doesn't always reveal to you. And if you're wise, sometimes you'll see somebody go through something and you will say, I have no idea how they're making it. That's right, you don't. Because God is giving them the grace and God's giving them thoughts. Have you ever asked somebody, how are you handling this? And they tell you, and you say, that is the most illogical, unimportant thought. Because it's for them. Have you ever, and sometimes the things that sustain me and God has helped me when I've had a time in need, some of the thoughts you would say, what's that got to do with it? But God has something for me or for you. And so it's for somebody else. And so you don't have to know everything. You just go on and do the right thing and do what you're supposed to do when you don't understand, when you don't see the way, when you can't understand, when you're not ready to understand it yet. Before I started this church, there were a bunch of things I went through that I had no idea why I went through them the entire time. When I got done going through them, I didn't understand. And it took me a year of starting the church to understand what I went through when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. And all of a sudden I said, now I know I went through that. And the whole time I was going, Lord, why am I going through? Why is this going like this? But I continued on not knowing. We walk by faith, not by sight. And later I understood when I was more mature, but I don't think I could have understood before that. And then at that year, I understood why I went through that, but I didn't know why I was going through what I was going through right then. I'm saying, why am I going? Why is this going like this? And I think the church took about 6 years, and about 6 years in, I realized, you know, it would have been bad for me to have instant success as a pastor, earthly success. It would have been bad for me. I would not have developed. But in those 6 years, I was going, I'm doing what you want me to do here, Lord. Why is this so tough? Why am I going through this? But I didn't have to understand. I just had to obey. Later, it got revealed to me when I was ready to handle the truth. But there's a lot of things you're not ready to handle. You don't, or you can't grasp yet, or it's not the right time. But if you stay faithful to God, many times afterward, you'll understand. But you got to stay in God's will to understand. But we say, I want to know why. I want to know now. I want to understand it. But that's not faith. Faith is doing and continuing on when you do not understand or do not have the knowledge. It's trusting the Lord with all your heart and not leaning on your own understanding. But we like to know, don't we? And we like to know right then. And if I know why, God, I'll be able to do it. If you just tell me why, God says, because I chose to. Have faith. And then you got to do that. And that's a little bit difficult. A couple examples of the Bible in Daniel, the book of Daniel. And a couple of examples. Daniel was this man who had kept getting said about him, this is a man of understanding, dark sentences and deep dreams. And this is a man who understands and can interpret things. And he was just named by king after king and person after person who said, this man has great understanding. And so Daniel, he brought before kings over and over and give them understanding. But then came the time when Daniel didn't understand. And then Daniel didn't understand. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 22. It's an angel talking to Daniel. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forward to give thee skill and understanding. He says, I'm going to give you understanding. Daniel, divinely in chapter 2, and again in chapter 6 and 8, and throughout in chapter 9 and chapter 10, he gets supernatural understanding. Give it to him. Then he gets it again here in Daniel chapter 10. In verse 1, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name is called Belteshazzar. And so it was revealed to him. And the end of the verse, I had understanding in the vision. So he gets this understanding. He's getting an understanding from God. Here is a man who understands things that are unseen, who angels come and say, I'm going to give you understanding now. But watch the book end, Daniel chapter 12. Daniel just gets hit with vision after vision and prophecy after prophecy. And he sits there and says, at the end he says, I don't understand. In chapter 12. Verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Can you imagine that? Is Daniel, this stuff's for the end times. You're not going to understand the world empires, the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. Your mind, Daniel, cannot comprehend these things. And so you're going to have to wait till the end. It's just sealed up till then. And what did Daniel have to do? Okay, I'll just follow you, God. But don't you want to know? Of course. We're all curious, aren't we? Yet God said, you're not going to know. And it's not for you to know, Daniel. And verse 13, but go thou thy way till the end be. For thou shalt rest and stand in the lot at the end of the day. He says, Daniel, you're going to die? And then you'll be there in the end. But there's going to be a couple thousand years in between, several thousand. And then you'll find out. So we just had to wait. And one more example of this is the book of Job. The whole book of Job is about this. The book of Job is tedious to read. Job chapter 1 is awesome. Job chapter 2 is awesome. Job chapter 3 through about Job chapter 40. What is this talking about? Because the book of Job is really simple. God and Satan were having a battle over Job, and Job was going through terrible times, and nobody knew why. And everybody thought they had to know, and they had this special revelation of why it was. At the end of the book, God comes in and says, you bunch of numbskulls, you're all wrong. None of you know why this happened. You don't know anything. You're humans. I'm God. You just do right, and you don't have to know anything. I'm God. I've got it in control. And Job chapter 4, just show you a few examples of this. Just watch people start guessing and trying to figure out why did Job lose his health, lose his family, lose his riches, all these things all at once, and be sitting here scraping himself with a piece of metal and a pile of ashes. Why did this happen to him? And everybody starts trying to figure it out. Chapter 4, verse 6. Eliphaz tells him, is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and thy right and the uprightness of thy ways? Remember thy prey, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? He says, nobody's ever suffered like you when they didn't do something wrong. So he begins to give him his sermon. Even as we have seen that they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. By the blast of God's breath, this is happening to you, he says. And chapter 8, And Bildad, one of his other friends, comes along. If thy children have sinned against him, and he have cast him away for their transgression, or if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou were pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee, God would work for you, and take and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. He said, you would be blessed if you would get right with God. Chapter 10, in verse 2, Job starts questioning. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me therefore, thou condemnest with me. Is it good that unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as a man seest? God, can't you see that I'm doing right and I'm suffering, and wicked people are doing good? Do you even see what's going on? Chapter 11 and verse 3, it says, should that thy lies make men hold their peace? This is Zophar, another friend. And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom that are double of that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. He says, you're getting off easy. God should punish you even worse. In chapter 36, chapter 36, again, just one more little passage, one more friend. In verse 16, he says, and so would I have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place where there is no straitness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness, but thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold on thee. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, and with great ransom, and a great ransom cannot deliver thee. He says, you better be careful. God's going to punish you worse and kill you if you keep on this stuff up. All of them are wrong, but they thought they had to have an answer. They thought they had to have a why, this Job went through this. The amazing thing about this book is it goes through, it's a very long book, and it gets to the end, and God comes to Job and says, Job, you're not God. Where were you when I made the world? Do you know where the wind comes from? Do you understand how the mountains are formed? Job, do you understand the great creatures of the world and how they're formed and how they breathe and how they live? Do you understand any of this stuff, Job? You don't understand anything. You need to just realize you don't need understand much, and I'm God. Just trust me. And he gets to the end of the book, and you know what he tells Job about why it happened to him? Absolutely nothing. He just says, you just need to trust me. And he goes to his friend and says, shame on you guys, speaking like I did all this judgment. You have no idea. And you know what? You're in big trouble unless Job prays for you, because Job was righteousness. And God delivered them through Job's prayer. And so God says in chapter 38 and verse 2, God speaking, and who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? You have no idea what you're talking about. Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I'll demand of thee, answer thou me. And he humbled him and showed him, you don't know much. Verse 18, how shalt thou perceive the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. Do you know how big the world? Do you know this? Do you know that? And he continues on, and I won't read all the verses. Job did this, though, because at the end, God, look at chapter 42. Job, in the end, God says he's right. He's okay. And he repents of even questioning God, verses 1 through 3. And verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. He says, I know you better now, God. That's good. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust as ashes. I should never have questioned you. And verse 7, and it was so after Job had spoken these words, the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the things which is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly. Remember, they were the ones saying, God's dealing with you, Job, after your folly. God's saying, no, I'm about to deal with you according to your folly, because you're that wrong. Why did Job please God, and God said, Job's been right in this? Chapter 13 and verse 15 will be the last verse to read. Job chapter 13 and verse 15. Job didn't understand. Job questioned and said, why? Like Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Job said, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. It's very simple. Job didn't understand. And Job said, I don't understand this. I'm questioning all this. God said, comes back and says, you don't know anything, Job. But Job continued without knowing and said, when I come, at the end, there's going to come forth this gold. He didn't charge God foolishly. He questioned. But God in the end said, Job, you're not going to understand. And all your friends, you have no idea. Because there needs to be an ability for us to say, I do not know the answer. I do not know how this is going to work out. I don't know why this happened. But I'm going to continue to do right and trust in the Lord with all my heart and not lean on my understanding. I don't have to know the mystery. I might not be ready to handle it, but someday God will reveal it to me. I might not be able to handle it, the weight of it. I might not have the spiritual discernment yet. I might not have the wisdom yet. God might never tell me till I die. It might not be time for me to know it. But I'm going to do right. I'm going to have the wisdom to continue to do right and not boast about tomorrow. And because I don't even know what the day is going to bring forth. And just do right and continue on when I do not know, when I have questions. I can ask the questions. God has never said, don't ask me why. But he says, keep doing right and trust me, even if I don't tell you why. That's a big difference. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. I pray we'd have the wisdom to keep doing right when we don't know why. Please, Lord, give us wisdom and help us to have this kind of wisdom. And really, it's faith as much as it is wisdom. To not guess and be foolish in projections, but just to do right and trust you enough to obey you. Even if we don't know the answers, sometimes you reveal the answers to us and sometimes we understand. But sometimes we need to not lean on our own understanding and help us to be wise enough to do that, Father. Thank you, you're a good God, that we can trust you, that you must be leading us right because you're the good shepherd. Even if we don't know why we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, please, Lord, put this faith in us and the wisdom to continue and the wisdom to live in obedience with things not seen. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed. We just